Welcome to Midweek Bible Study at Dawson Memorial Baptist Church. At Dawson, we seek to be found faithful as God's people as we become and help others become faithful servants of Jesus Christ.
Good to see all of you here today. We are going to do a change of plans. David is feeling better, but wasn't quite did not feel quite strong enough to probably teach today. So as I'm looking out at you, I can see the disappointment. But I was disappointed because I was so excited about the second part of translations that we will hear today. And then obviously this morning, I was quickly looking ahead on what I, you know, what I was going to teach later. I'm going to teach today. So the outline that you've got in front of you is not the normal outline, but that will do. That would at least keep me on track, as well as to you can make notes in between the things that I'm sharing. So, but David's good. He just wasn't quite strong enough or well enough to teach this morning. So I told him I would be happy to do that. What a week with the snow on the beach. I've got a good friend of mine who lives in Destin, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him. I was going to ask him if he was ready to move up north. That's unbelievable. Snow on the beach. I'm sure many of you have seen the pictures. There was one picture I saw where it had a snow person or man that they built on a chair laying out in the sun. I mean, go figure. But God can do all things. So it's a great reminder of that. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather. And Father, no doubt we are reminded that only you can create the beautiful world that we live in, the beaches, and then to create the snow to fall on the beach. In you, all things are possible. And Father, we know that as we experience life and as we circumstances in life, we can look to you as not only our creator, but our Lord who cares for us so greatly. And Father, as we look today for heavenly wisdom, I pray that you will use the words that I speak, that you would prepare our hearts, and that you will teach us with your spirit what wisdom is truly about. Wisdom, Father, that will last for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The outline that you've got are kind of notes, more or less, of where we're going to go today. As you know, back in the summer, we were going through the book of James. Did not get through it. Fortunately, that has given me the opportunity when Pastor David is out to continue through that book. And it's one of my favorite books because it's so applicable in living out of life and the things that we do in life and how to live life from a Christian perspective. So James, today we are in chapter 3 and we're talking about wisdom. Years ago, I read a definition of the difference in wisdom and knowledge. And you're going to see, I may jump a little bit here. But there's a big difference in wisdom and knowledge. And as you grow older, as most of us have here in this room, you realize it more and more. When Kathy and I were doing premarital counseling many, many years ago, we were, the counselor shared with us the differences in our personality. And we were counseling a young couple last night. And as we were going through it, I shared, this has really played out throughout our lives. And it's this. Kathy's the type of person, if you say, you got to make a decision by Friday, she will research, think it out, pray, fast. I mean, she will go through all the details of making a decision. And guess what? She will have a decision by Friday and not look back. Myself, very different. I will do all the research, think through it, plan A, plan B, plan C, and I will come up with all these different things. Now, on Friday, if I have to make a decision, I will, but it will also come with, well, the what ifs. We can do this or this and maybe this. Well, the counselor was very wise, and he looked at me and he said, "Do you know how you can change Kathy's mind?" I said, "Not really." He said, "When y'all come together with the decisions that you're going to make, then you're going to probably have done more research beyond, and you can help Kathy understand where you're coming from by sharing all the information that you have received, the knowledge and so forth." And I said, "Okay, that makes sense." And that has played out in life. Now, Kathy's yet to change her mind on any decisions that we have made together, but I do come back and say, "Okay, Kathy, if we do this, this may happen, or if we do this," and it does help us to think through things. The reason I'm sharing that with you is because it took the wisdom of a counselor to say, "Tommy, in life, this is how you are, this is how Kathy is. You can put decisions off. Kathy will quickly make it a decision once she has all the facts and information. But you can take the opportunities, the knowledge, the things that you've thought through, and share that. And together, y'all come up with a decision." So it's the wisdom in that of living out of life and say, "Okay, we're both are different, and these are things that we can work through together." James 3, beginning in verse 13. "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." There is, you probably have never met anybody that has claimed to be wise. I mean, people don't normally walk around and look and say, "Look how wise I am." Now, there may be some people that might boast of intelligence, but there's a world of difference in wisdom and knowledge. I used to, another story with Kathy and I. We've been married a year, and I was cutting the grass, and I was trying to change the blade on the lawnmower. And I was unscrewing what I thought was a blade, and she kept saying, "Tommy, honey, I think you're about to take the motor off." I said, "No, I know what I'm doing. Just bear with me." So I continued to undo the bolts, and sure enough, the motor falls off. And Kathy was very nice. She didn't say, "I told you." But I said, "We've got a bigger problem. I do not know how to put this back together," because there were several parts that came off. Years ago, I heard this definition of knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge, you may have the opportunity, or you have the knowledge or the ability to take something apart, but it takes wisdom to put it back together. You may have knowledge to know facts, what to do, knowledge to instruct somebody, but the wisdom comes in the practical living out of life and doing the right things. Now, when it says the definition, Proverbs 8:11, "The value of wisdom is far above rubies. Nothing can be compared with it." Think about that. If you could have anything in the world that you would want, what was it that Solomon wanted? Wisdom. Wisdom gives you insight into all of life. And wisdom gives you the ability to make application to that knowledge. And that's the difference. Just to have knowledge and to know things is, you know, that's good. But to have wisdom, to know how to apply that knowledge in life, is a world of difference. I've been around, and there's people that can tell you everything about the Bible, and they've got incredible knowledge about the Bible. But then to live that knowledge out, to live your faith out, is a totally different thing. So the knowledge is good, but the wisdom in how to live that knowledge is totally different. If you were to look up the definition of wisdom, it would say something like this: wisdom is the ability to judge soundly or to deal in a thoughtful, understanding manner to make good judgment with facts, especially how they relate to life and conduct. Last night, Kathy and I were visiting with a young couple going through life. They've been married maybe 2 years. And we were talking about all the different things that in the marriage you can work through, that you have to work through in life. And they had the knowledge of these things and that these things were important. But Kathy and I had the ability to say, okay, this is how this plays out in life. This is how it plays out when you're living together, when you have two different personalities, sometimes different goals. And as they were listening, he made a statement that and this is not a Dawson member, it's somebody we knew that we were just helping out. He made a statement to make me think, okay, this guy is really thinking through things, but in a very selfish way. So I quickly went back to something, and he had not even thought about it. And the reason I'm bringing this out is the living out of life, having life experiences, having knowledge, looking to God and actually living out, trusting God, living on your faith, there's where the wisdom comes in. So when it says in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? This is how you know. By his good conduct, let him show the works in meekness of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him live it out with his works. Spiritual wisdom is the skill to live a life well-pleasing to God. The Living Bible in Proverbs 8, 12 and 13 says, I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption, perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Again, knowledge is information you can gather from sources. It's an accumulation and understanding of facts and truth. With enough available information, most people can gain knowledge. But wisdom is the ability to take that knowledge and apply experiences and judgment to see what is appropriate in a given situation in life, is putting knowledge into practice. Dr. Packer writes, the experience of God's wisdom is like driving a car. When driving, it is important to make responses to constantly changing scenery as you drive, to exercise sound judgment regarding speed, distance, and braking. If you're going to drive well, you're not going to complain over the highway engineer's reason for an S-curve, the philosophy that produces a red, green, or yellow traffic light, or why the lady in front of you is trying to accelerate while at the same time trying to brake. To drive well, you keep your eyes open to what is before you, and you use your head to make decisions accordingly. In the living life wisely, you are alert to situations and life circumstances, then responding with a mind and heart dependent on the wisdom and guidance of God. It's the wisdom from the Lord that enables you to live a life with proper judgment and execution. So when you think about driving a car, when you're learning to drive a car, or you're teaching a grandchild or your son or daughter to drive a car, they have the knowledge, and you're trying to tell them, be alert, you know, watch out for the other car. The light is turning yellow, which would mean that it's about to turn red. You're going too fast, and you have to have all that knowledge to pass the driving test, to answer those questions. But as you experience in driving, what happens? Your mind changes. You even begin to perceive what could happen because of past experiences. Are you thinking, you know, with ice and snow as we've been experiencing the last few weeks, you anticipate certain places. If you're going across a bridge, you know that that could be trouble. A young driver that just has the knowledge and they just started out driving, they're not even thinking about that. They can't anticipate. Wisdom helps you to anticipate. It is the application of the knowledge that you have of driving, but the experience of driving. So again, the evidence of wisdom is demonstrated by good conduct and meekness. So good conduct is a reflection of a wise person. Wisdom from above gives birth to good deeds and a way of life that grows in understanding. A good life is typified by deeds done in humility or meekness that comes from wisdom. When it talks about in James 3:14, but if you have in meekness of wisdom, but if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to this truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Somebody who is wise in living out life and they have the conduct of a Christian that you would expect to see, that person is not living for self. That person is living out, seeking God, seeking what God would have them to do. If I was to come up here and share these are things, because it was a performance, to use an example, and I'm trying to come across like I have all the knowledge and I'm telling you what the wisdom is from the Bible. Rather than sharing from my heart, this is what God is teaching me, and teaching with meekness, with humility, that this is from God, this is not from me. I don't know if you've been around people who are, especially when you're young and you're trying to climb up that ladder and you're trying to get beyond what the other person is or has done so that you can get more of the spotlight. These are things from around us, from the earth. These are things that are earthly things that are telling us, you got to do this for people to respect you. You got to be able to achieve certain things for people to think wisely of you. This is obviously from the earth, from around us, not from heaven. So when it says, but if in your hearts do not boast and be false to the truth, it's being hypocritical, because wisdom from God is from God, not from the things that we're trying to accomplish in life. For where there's jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. So anytime that you're around people who are constantly trying to achieve things and get better and better, you can tell that their ambition is involved. They're seeking things out for selfish reasons. Whereas when you're seeking God, you're seeking things for His glory and His honor. Characteristics of a false, and I'm looking to see, I'm trying to stay with this outline. Characteristics of a false wisdom, verse 14. Our selfish nature can harbor and become saturated with bitter envy and selfish ambition.
Selfish ambition is a desire to live for oneself and no one or nothing else, only for what we get out of it. This leads to always wanting to be right and everyone else is wrong. We are confident in our knowledge regardless of the situation. Romans 12:3 says, do not think more highly of yourself than you should. Everything that we have comes from God. Opportunities that we have in life, talents that we have, the ability to do certain things, those are things that come from God, not ourselves. We can obviously improve on those things, but if we're doing it for selfish reasons, our ambition to just make ourselves look good, people can pick up on that. And in the midst of doing that, all kinds of things, disorder and things will occur around that. But then it says, James is going to say, but the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When you're looking at the characteristics of wisdom that is from above, the first thing, the umbrella, the primary thing, it is pure. Through the New Testament, especially the Apostle Paul, you will see Paul write, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. In Christ, we are a new creation. In Christ, we have the wisdom that is from Christ. So if you're living life in Christ, seeking to do his will, seeking to please him, God will provide the wisdom as you're living out of life. Pure is undefined. It's morally clean. It is pure. It's for good reason. It's not hypocritical. You're being all that God has called you to be. You're not being anything for yourself. You have spiritual integrity. It's a heart seeking God. Remember what David said, what God said of David? After removing Saul, he made David their king. And he testifies saying, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And you remember the other part of that? He will do everything I want him to do. Now, what a characteristic. If we were seeking God with all of our heart, seeking to do everything that he would ever call us to do, that would be the most important thing we could ever do in this life, by far, is to be somebody seeking God with all the strength, all of our heart, loving God with all that is within us. That is living life with wisdom and seeking him only. Peaceable. Wisdom from above is peaceable. It's not peace that we're walking away from conflict, but it's having a peaceful spirit. When you're seeking God's will and not your personal agenda or selfish ambition, not trying to prove anything, you have a peace from the Lord that extends from your life. As we grow older in life, let me give an example of coaches who have been very successful in life. And you can think, I won't call names out, but you can think of, or even CEO companies, presidents of companies, but people who've been very successful in life. And if you look at their life, now this is not across the board. I'm just saying, if you're looking around and you're watching, analyzing people, oftentimes the people, successful people that are in their 30s and 40s, what happens as they get older, especially Christians? They mellow. They become more realizing that, hey, I can be replaced quickly. They're not so caught up in who they're trying to be or success, or how much success they have.
later in life you realize really what is most important in life. And when you think about that, if we could have that kind of mentality earlier on and that kind of wisdom to think, hey, life is important, no doubt. Everything we do in life, the difference that we make around other people, the things that we do for others, those things are important. But as we live life, as a Christian, you realize more and more in life that everything you have, everything you do, is of Christ. And it's God that gives you those talents and those abilities. One of the greatest examples I've seen in a long time is what Pastor Davis shared last week when he gave his boys money. And he would give them whatever it was, $3, $5. And those of you who were here Sunday, you heard this. And I made a note in my Bible to go back to this whenever I taught this. Didn't realize it was going to be today. But he said he would give Hayden and Luke money, and they would go in the store with his money and buy something. And they would claim it for themselves. And they would come out and then say, hey, I bought this with my money. And they would argue because they would want what the other person purchased. And then David said, he's thinking, you know, it wasn't their money, it was my money. And we've all experienced that with our kids. We'll give our kids something, they claim it for themselves as if they went out and earned that and made that money and made that purchase. We do the same thing often with God. God gives us the ability to live life. God gives us the ability to make decisions. God gives us talents to do, to use for his glory. But oftentimes, we will take those opportunities in life, those successes in life, and bring glory to ourselves instead of God. And said, I've done this. I have the ability. Look what I've accomplished. When God has given you those opportunities and those things to do. Wisdom is realizing it's not about me. It's about God. Wisdom is realizing that as you live life, day to day to day, and experiencing the things that God has given to you, and living your life before others, it is the Lord Jesus that has provided all of that, and that we're to be living for him. To be pure, the characteristics of wisdom, to be pure is to be undefiled, is to be clean, is to realize that, hey, I'm being transparent because I'm not up here performing. It's what God is doing through me. Secondly, it's peaceable. It is seeking God's will, not your personal agenda, not living life for you, but living God, but living your life before the Lord and having peace that extends from your life to others. Not walking around with a boastful attitude, causing conflict and stirring trouble. But there's people that you can love or you can be around that they just have a peace about them. They have a gentle spirit about them. There are the others you could be around, and you know as soon as that person walks in the room, there's going to be disorder. There's going to be a spirit of conflict. But those that have the spirit of the Lord, that's seeking his wisdom, there will be a peacefulness about, a peace about their spirit. The other characteristic is gentle or considerate. Opposite of self-seeking, does not demand its own right. Is to be tempered with justice, with mercy, and compassion. It's being gentle with people the way you would want to be treated, treating others the way you would want to be treated, loving other people unconditionally, looking for opportunities to be kind to others, and then open to reason, willing to obey, getting along with others, which is important. Being open, not being open to things that are not of God, but being able to talk to people and say, okay, this is what you may want. I understand. I'm going to be yielding to what, or I'm I'm willing to do what you would like to do in this situation, but being willing to go back and forth and being open with one another. Full of mercy and good fruits. Mercy is compassion, undeserved kindness, being that way with others, being impartial, single-mindedness towards God, free from prejudice towards other people. It's not being double-minded. You're seeking to do the best for others. You're not being prejudiced towards other people because this person has something that I may want. I may want to be able to do for this person but not do for that person, because if I do for this person, it might help me get to where I want to get in life. But it's truly seeking God and the best for all people and what he would call you to do. And being sincere, not being hypocritical, but being genuine in life. Being who God created you to be, being you. As you mature in life, I think there's more of a confidence to be who God created you to be. Just to be you, not try to be somebody else. I can remember growing up and I would look at preachers that I admired greatly and how they would be able to speak and speak with clarity and speak loudly, clearly, and even not be able to look at a note. And I thought, that's the kind of person I want to be like. That's the kind of preacher I want to be like. And then later in life, wisdom becomes, have wisdom when you think, hey, God created me as he's created me. He created that person with special talents and abilities, he's created that woman with those abilities, that man with different ability, and he's created me to be me. Just learning to be you. There is a peace about that because you're not feeling like you've got to perform. You're not feeling like you got to be caught off guard. You're feeling like, hey, you know, you get a phone call this morning and thought, well, I'm not totally prepared, but I will do everything I can do to be prepared by 11 o'clock. Hey, if this had been 20 years ago, I would have thought, man, I'm not sure what to do. I don't want to do that because what would people think of me later that day? But it's having the ability, wisdom is, to say, hey, I am what I am. I will do what God's asked me to do. Live a life being genuine, being who you are, and not worrying about trying to be somebody you're not. That is wisdom in life. Otherwise, life is going to be tough. And you're going to constantly be seeking. And I know I'm preaching to the crowd. You understand this. But when you look at younger people and you think, and they're thinking, man, I got to be this, or I got to be that. No, be you and be all that God's called you to be. And have these characteristics in life. And these are the things that will give you or help you to have wisdom from above. And then in the last verse, in 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, as you're living out of life and you're trying to be and do what God's called you to do, there will be good fruit. And there will be righteousness with good actions as you're living out of life. Oftentimes when I look back in life and different things and opportunities I've had in ministry that God's given to me, and I look back, especially with young people, when I was a youth minister, and I can say, okay, be who God's called you to be, live out the Christian life, good fruits will follow you, but don't compare
the good fruits in your life to the good fruits in somebody else's life. Don't have envy. Don't be jealous of those around you, because, you know, you may be the person that's called to make a difference in somebody's life that nobody ever sees. God may call you to be the person that prays behind closed doors and prays constantly. You may not ever be on the platform to proclaim God's word. But be who God calls you to be. The good fruits are from God, not from your own selfish works. And there's a great freedom in that when you get to that point in life and you realize, hey, this is what God's called me to be. This is the righteousness that he is producing in my life. These are the good fruits that he is producing. It's not what I'm doing on my own. And then life takes on a completely different perspective. Wisdom is also, I want to jump to verse 13, and I use this often, about boasting about tomorrow. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town, spend a year there, trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Those who claim to have wisdom about the future, and they're looking to do the things that they feel like they need to be doing to make things better in this life, you're constantly on that fast track looking ahead and trying to do those things. Wisdom comes in saying, this is a day God has made. This is good. The things that I can do today, that is what is most important. Now, not to say you don't plan ahead, but it's the attitude. And when you feel like you got the knowledge and the wisdom and say, hey, all that I'm planning ahead for, this and this is going to happen. You know, anybody who thought they were going to the beach for this, the last few days, and experienced the sun and great weather, they were shocked. We don't know what tomorrow may hold. So to live life with wisdom is to live life one day at a time, seeking to do his will, and living in a manner that your life will produce the good fruits that will continue to make a difference days and days and years ahead. Let's pray together. Father, we know that wisdom can only come from above. So often we can get caught up in feeling like that we have the knowledge, feeling like that we know enough things that we can make decisions in this life and good things will result. Father, we know that in you all things are created. We know that in you all things have their beginnings. We know that in you, Father, only in you, that we have forgiveness, that we have eternal life, that we have the ability to do the things that you've called us to do, and that you've given us that strength and ability to do those things. And that it's in you that we are able to do those things. Father, help us to live accordingly. Not to try to live life in our own ability, but to live life in you with the strength, the wisdom, and the guidance that only you provide. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about our family of faith, or to learn how to become a follower of Jesus, please visit us at dawsonchurch.org.